scripture reading be Acts 1, 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, he was eating with them. He gave them this commandment. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. From John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then he gathered around them and asked them, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be a witness in Jerusalem, in all Judah and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and in a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was given, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into the heaven will come back into the same way you have seen him go into the heavens. May God have the blessing of his word.
Amen. Good morning. Today, we're speaking on the ascension of Jesus Christ. And if you think about it, he came to earth he died for all of us. For the best person, the worst person, whoever, all of us. After his death, he was in the grave for 3 days. After then, he was seen by people all around for 40 days. And it was after this point that he really ascended back to God, Father. So the ascension at that point, which was extremely important to all of us, that Jesus Christ returned to earth, that Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of the Father. But maybe I should change this to however. My husband said, however. He left a message for all of us. He was speaking to the apostles. Remember before he left and the things that they had learned from him and the fact that they were asked to preach the gospel throughout the world, throughout Jerusalem, Judea, and also Samaria, and the world. So you know what that means. Now, he was talking at that point to the apostles, but that's a message for all of us. It wasn't just for them, it's for all of us. All of us who are sitting here right now. We have things to do. We have work to do. So, I'm just going to read this. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he told his followers to be witnesses throughout the world. And we hear over and over that we are God's what? His hands, his feet, his eyes, and his mouth. This is what we are to be using to bring more people to Christ. Now, he is in heaven, and we know he's not sitting there twiddling his thumbs. He's doing something. He has work that he is doing when he went back to heaven. So that means we who are God's people, that's who we say we are, we have work to do. We have work to do. And we really need to keep this in mind. We are witnesses of Jesus Christ. And we can't, it's like that song that I give myself away. I love that song, but I thought it fits so well, you know, and talked about Jesus Christ and the work we should be doing. And that's what we should truly be doing, giving ourselves away. Not just using a lot of words. It's easy to use words, but you need to do something. So now think about this. Do you believe that Jesus Christ ascended to heaven? Do you believe he was telling us, well, you really don't have to do anything now. You can make your own choice. Did he say, we have work to do? Now think about this. If you did absolutely nothing, you're in the church, and you know you come to church and all the things we do. But if you did absolutely nothing, what happened to all those people outside? What happened to your relatives and your friends and all of the things that's going on? We know all kinds of things going on. So nothing happens. But if you think, and I have thought about this really, just you look at all of what is going on the television, all the news and everything, and what difference could we or can we make and what's going on? I won't ask for hands, but you know the thought is, how many people have really put forth the effort to reach out, even to a relative that you knew was on the wrong path, or to a friend, or to a neighbor, a coworker? And all of these people we see on television who have killed folks, shot folks, doing a lot of things, and you see how a lot of our kids are being killed. What difference would that have made if we had stepped up to the plate and maybe helped somebody, maybe shared God's word with someone, to give some sound advice to someone, help them to know Jesus Christ? But sometimes we say, well, we're good, you know, it's not going to do any good, you know. But you never, never know what it will do. You can't bring people. You can't convert folks. We know that. But we are to still get out there and reach out to the unchurched to share the gospel with them. That's what Christ, when he ascended, this is what he wanted us to do. And do we have any excuse not to do it? Do we?
No.
Oh, good. That means we're going to get busy. And I really think about this. I think about myself as long as I've been in church. And as far as reaching out and sharing the gospel with this person, that person, the other person, guilty, guilty, guilty. Didn't do it. When we first came into the church, we were busy. I mean, we were telling people, you know, you tell folks left and right, you're so excited. But then you give up. You stop, you know, and we should not be stopping. I want to read the scripture, Acts 1:6-14. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses, and me and all of us too, witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And God has people throughout the earth, throughout the world. He has people. And those are people who will have to be reached. And when he descended back to heaven, he was leaving people here to carry out the assignment that he had given us. And I look at it as an assignment that he has given each of us. And if we look at our life, we would find that there were many, maybe many opportunities that we had to share the gospel with someone. Someone we knew, plenty of people we may know if you think about family members, co-workers, neighbors, and so on. But we didn't do it. And right now, I think when we do the prayer line at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I really think one of the things we are left with during this day is basically, you put it in my own words, to take time to reach out to someone. And I think about a situation that occurred. My husband and I were at Cracker Barrel. And there was a woman there who had just come from her doctor. She was having pain, and she was in her back. And she goes to him on a regular basis, but she says she's in more pain when she comes from him than when she went. So her decision is, I will not do this anymore, you know. And she was, you know, kind of leaning over. But the bad part is, now I started the conversation with her, but I look at the bad part is it's not really reaching out to her the way I could have. Because that was an opportunity. That was a door open. She's talking to me and telling me her problem. But I did not one single time did I think, wait a minute, I should ask her if she wanted me to pray for her. It was like either midnight, late that night or the next day before it came to, oh, I'd miss that. I missed it, you know. And there are other opportunities. I have missed all of them. And I think by the fact what Pastor Barker says, you know, your day, and it's basically take the opportunity to reach out. You know, this day, who knows? And it doesn't mean all the time. I think you can reach out in other ways. You know, you can share the gospel. You can pray for someone. But there are other situations as well. You know, maybe there's a little problem that you see, you know, that this person, if they had just a little advice, it could be helpful to them. The question is, Jesus' ascension helps us today. What does Christ expect of us? I think we know what he expects of us. The importance of him ascending to heaven. And remember what he said in John 14, 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, if I come again and receive you, and to myself, that you is, let me get this right, that I got it mixed up here the way I wrote it anyway. But anyway, that when he returns, you know, we all will be with Jesus Christ. But one of the things I really want to mention here is things that happen. I'm just going to read it. Where we live is no accident. Do you think where you live is an accident? Or do you think maybe God wanted you to be there for a reason? Okay. You don't know? Okay. I suddenly realized that God appointed not only the time I was to live, but also the place. Where you and I live is no accident. God could have put us in any nation of the world, in any period of choice. He could have chosen for us any city, any neighborhood, any street, but he chose to send us to neighborhoods we live in right now. If we don't go, who will? If we do not do the work and reach out and share the gospel with people who really need this, who's going to do it? He is looking to us to do the work. He is looking to us to get out there in the streets and really share his word with other people. And it can make a difference. And if you think about yourself, there might have been something at one point in your life. Maybe it was a teacher or a good friend or whoever said something to you. And at that time, you may, But later on, it comes back. You know, that was really good, sound advice that that person gave. So you may say something to someone, and you feel like, it's not, you know, they're not thinking about this. They're not going to change, you know. But you never know. You never know if God sent you across that person's path for a particular reason, or whether the person came across our path to help us in some way. You know, you don't know. So you have to take time to really reach out to the unchurched. And we have so many things we could share with them, not only all of the blessings that God has put on us. And you can take those opportunities to tell somebody about God's word. You can, you know. Even if you have to, you're saying, you know, I got a promotion. Okay, that's you. You got a promotion. But in the meantime, you've taken this conversation to another person. And, you know, even though you're talking about yourself, but you can turn it in a way that you can put God in the picture because he is the one who gave you that promotion, you know. And you can take it and use it that way. So keep that in mind. And in reading the rest of it, if we aren't praying to God on behalf of those left in darkness, the elderly, the sick, and the trouble up and down our streets, who's going to do it? That's convenient. Who is going to do it? So do you feel that you have a responsibility to be God's witnesses and to follow what he had said and to get out there and share the gospel with people who don't know? You feel that, or you don't feel the obligation to do that? Yes. Oh, that was so low, I can hear it. I mean, what did you say?
Yes.
Okay. I'm looking at my time. That's the truth. I must be past. Okay. We are to make disciples for the risen Christ. One of our main concerns should be being prepared to help. And I really feel that all of the Bible studies and the various groups that we have now, it is something I believe that is helping all of us to know more about Jesus Christ. Because before we started reading and studying, experiencing God, I mean, we've been in the church forever, a long time, but you didn't know those things. You did not know those things. And you do know them now. and you are responsible for using what you know. If we don't go, who will go? So really keep this in mind. Every single opportunity that we have, every opportunity that we have to use it, to reach out to a person. I'm trying my best to have a mindset like that, to really take time to reach out. And any opportunity that comes to share God's gospel with that person. And sometimes you can make opportunities to do that. So keep it in mind. That's what if we are his witnesses. And if we don't move forward, there's nobody else. Who else is going to look to except his people to do this? So when the disciples looked up as Christ ascended to heaven, and you know about the two men in white and what they said, and we realize that one day Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth the same way he went. And as that question Mr. Bellamy used to say all the time, when he returns to earth, will he find faith, you know? But we do not want to be in that line that says, you know, I wish I had done this. You know how you don't do and you wish many times that you had done something. Now, I want to end with this. Albert Einstein, he states, the world is not dangerous because of those who do harm, but because of those who look at it and without doing anything. And you think about that, it's true. You see people marching for this, you know, for whatever they feel like the rights are. But how many people, how many groups are we involved in? What kind of work are we doing to really make things better for society? And to do God's will. He's working up there. We should be working down here. Okay?
You know what's amazing to me is that when we have these meetings, these planning meetings, I purposely try not to tell people specifically what to speak on. There's a broad overview. And I say, okay, your message is somewhere inside here. And I do that because I want people to speak with Holy Spirit. I want Holy Spirit to have free reign over the speakers that come up here. And I listened to Mom speak just now, and I said, wow, she took my message. And I said, you know what? No, she didn't take my message. That was God's message. And the reality is that I'm speaking, and I'm going to tell you exactly the same thing, right? But the difference here is that it's going to come from me, right? Where hers come from her. But I'm going to address it from a different perspective. What I want to do is I want to go back to the book of Acts. The same scripture, you can leave that up here, right? I like that picture. The same scripture that we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, it says, now picture it. The disciples were hanging out with Christ, right? 3.5 years. And they were part of the group of Israelites who were looking for a Messiah. And when Jesus came on the scene, you know, some of John's disciples actually came to Jesus and he said, well, are you the one that we're looking for? So from then, and even way before then, they were focused on the Messiah. They were focused on the kingdom, having the kingdom restored to Israel. And then when he was crucified and then he resurrected, over a period of 40 days, he was with them. And during this last conversation that he had with them, he said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. And he goes on to say, for John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Christ now is focusing on other things. Well, it's related. But what are the disciples focused on? It says in verse 6, "So when they met together, they asked him," and here's the question, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" It never ventured from their mind. It was always predominant in their thoughts, the kingdom restoration to Israel. Remember, for many decades and even centuries, Israel was under captivity by foreign oppressors. You see, Israel knew that she was under foreign attack. Israel knew that she was under foreign occupation. Military terms, right? And they looked for a time when things would go back to the way they used to be. You see, they remembered how things were before. Not that they actually lived, right? But through stories and through stories that came down through the generations, they remembered what life was like prior to foreign occupation. Unfortunately, we don't. You see, what happens is that mankind does not even recognize that we are under foreign occupation. Now, if you remember, in the beginning, kids, how does it go? God created the heavens and the earth. Remember that? And then after he had made all that he made, he saw it was very good. And then what happened? Then God gave man dominion over the earth. And he says, go rule it. God created the earth. Perfect. And he gave man dominion over the earth. And what happened? Slithering, slimy person comes along and he says, I don't believe that God would actually tell you that. Did he really say that of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that you shouldn't surely eat? I mean, really, did he really say that? And from that time, foreign invaders began to come upon our earth. Amen. You see, I don't know. I'm kind of weird, right? Because this earth belongs to me. God gave us this earth. And what we did is we relinquished authority over this earth to a foreign invader. And it's been happening so long, and we've grown up on this earth for so long that right now we don't even recognize, right, that we are under foreign occupation. And I'll tell you why. Because the way this world is running now, this is not the way God intended it. You hear me? Yes. God did not intend for us to be working so hard. Amen. Really. God did not intend for us to have single family, single parent households. God did not intend for us to be working 12, 14, 16 hour days just so that we can barely pay bills, so that we can start it over again the next day. A lot of us, that's what we do. We live from day to day, paycheck to paycheck. No time in between to sit back and relax and enjoy the creation. No time to sit back and enjoy God. Adam and Eve, they were there in the garden. They were able to sit, enjoy, go pick a few fruit. I don't know what they did in the garden. That's so how far removed we are from reality. And we see this world as it is here now as reality. This is it. And we've been sold a bill of goods. And the bill of goods is this, that when we work hard enough, right, we're going to make it. And we define making it as having the 3-car garage, 5-bedroom house, big old television inside the family room, right? And you're driving around and what? Today I'm going to drive a Bentley. Tomorrow I'm going to drive a Lamborghini. The next day I'm going to drive a Mercedes. You name it. And this is what we've been sold. And all you have to do is to work hard enough. How's that worked for you? All you have to do is to work hard enough and you're going to achieve this American dream. All you have to do is to work hard enough, and then what you're going to do? You're going to have time to just sit back later on in life and enjoy all of the blessings that the good Lord has given to you. A bunch of lies. Because reality is that all these years we've been working, anybody achieved that yet? You see, we are still back, just like Israel, we are still back inside the mud, you know, pounding out them bricks with the straws, right? Working from sunrise to sunset, and then to come back the next day to do the same thing. Working to make other people's pockets fat. God didn't intend it to be that way. But we've been sold a bill of goods. We've been sold a bill of goods that tells us that, listen, all you have to do is you have to go to college. Yes, you're going to go to college, right? All you have to do is to go to college, and when you get out of college, oh, you'll be making all that money. And they lie to you, telling you that on average, the college graduate makes $1 million more than the person who doesn't graduate from college. Here's the question that you ask. What do you want the numbers to show? Because reality is that when you go to college and you graduate, what happens is that they... I'm a college professor, okay? It's not true, people. Now, it's also true. Because the reality is this, that when we look at the numbers of people who graduate from college and the amount of money they make, they don't make millions. Reality is that, do you know whose names they put into that bucket to make that calculation? Bill Gates, right? Give me some of those others. Donald Trump. Buffett. I mean, I'm not saying that none of us are going to achieve that. I mean, I wish I can. But reality is that we are chasing a dream. Now, am I saying that you stop college and you give up, you roll over and play dead? No. I'm saying that we need to recognize what the reality of the situation is. The reality of the situation is that unless you're superhuman, you're going to graduate from college and you're going to probably make about $40,000, depending on the location that you... Some people laugh. Okay. Depending on the location where you're working. But what happens is that the dream that the foreign occupiers want you to believe is that this is the way that it's supposed to be. When it's not. Reality is this, that God created man, and we gave up our rulership of this earth to a foreign occupier. You know who he is? Satan, right? Satan and his demons, they're the ones that's running stuff around here, right? They're the ones that's perpetuating this lie on you, keeping you so busy, right? Busy working, busy trying to make ends meet, busy trying to get into a relationship, right? Busy, 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 that we take time away from what is really important. We don't focus on God as we're supposed to be focusing on Him, right? We take time away from God because we are pursuing all of these things, and God is standing back and saying, you know what? Turn around. Pursue me. And as we live our lives, we continually live our lives pursuing goals that aren't realistic. Why? Because this part is true. The man, the foreign occupier, ain't gonna let you get ahead. Because reality is that the rich gets richer and the poor stay poor. Right? And we look at it in the economy, there's a big gap growing and growing between the rich and the poor, right? And we continually strive to make it across here. We want to jump that barrier. We want to jump from one ship to the next ship when the two ships are going further and further apart from each other. And as we're striving, I ain't telling you all nothing you don't know, right? You get paid enough to stay poor. Right? Just feed them just enough to let them have a little taste at the tip of their tongue. Feed the dream, right? So that once they get close enough, you know, we just move the bar just a little bit. We are pursuing the wrong goals. Amen. Bottom line, right? You see, we pursue the wrong goals, but that's just part of it. The other part of it is that sometimes we are so involved in the wrong kingdom that we start to look like the foreign oppressor, right? We start to talk like the foreign oppressor, right? We start to live our lives like the foreign oppressor. You know, one of the things that saddens me, and every time I see movies like this, I get so angry. I love kung fu movies, right? But there's that era of kung fu movies where, and anyone saw Ip Man? Ip, I-P, right? What happens is we know that the English, I'm trying to be politically correct, but there's no way I can do that. The English invaded China. Any English people in here, forgive me. The English invaded China. The foreign oppressors came to a country, and then all of a sudden, the culture of that country became subservient to the now oppressive culture. So much so that in these movies, and you can see, it's not just movies, it's reality. All of these Chinese people, it didn't only happen in China, I'm just using that as an example. All of these Chinese people now start to look like they're foreign oppressors. They start to put on the clothes. You see the woman wearing these long dresses and these little hats and the makeup and all this type of thing. Totally different from their own culture. What is your culture? The man starts wearing jacket and tie, just like the Englishman. They start drinking tea, just like the Englishman, taking on all the accoutrements of the oppressive culture. To the point where we now, and I'm back here, we now have taken on so much of these accoutrements of the oppressive culture that we don't even recognize who we are. And when people come up to us and say, you know, God loves you, who's God? Some of us don't even know who God is. Who is He? We are too inundated with the oppressor. So you ask the question, what does this have to do with Ascension Sunday? How in the world does this connect to the ascension of Jesus Christ? Because when Christ was rising, before he rose, what did he say? He said, go into all the world. Mom started talking about what is our position. What are we supposed to do now? We've come into a world that is lost. A world that doesn't have direction. A world that doesn't even know who their master is. A world that doesn't even know their potential. A world that doesn't even know that this earth belongs to them. But what happens? We just give it up and say, come on, foreign oppressors. Oppress me. Teach me to love it. And teach me so well that even when I'm being oppressed, I contribute to my own oppression. And I don't even see it. So what does God require of us? Mom said it. We go into a world. Our job is to come into this world. Christ said, listen, go preach the gospel. So the question is, what is the gospel? And we've heard it said, the gospel is the good news of the coming kingdom of God, blah, 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 blah. And that's true. But when you get onto the core issue of the gospel, what is the gospel? The gospel is, I like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. That is the gospel message. Jesus ascended into heaven and he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I'll be back. But, however, while I'm away preparing this place for you, you have a job to do. You got to go to all my children around this world, right? All of those who are lost, who don't see me, who's never seen me before. All of those people who probably seen me, but because of the foreign oppressor, because the foreign oppressor has purged me out of your life, right? You have now got to go to those people, my children, and tell them, I'll be back. Tell them that, you know, the time is coming when your Creator is going to come into the picture again and regain this world, regain this kingdom for you. You know, it's kind of like the bully on the block. You know, the little kid is playing with their toys, and then the bully on the block comes and takes the toys and go. And what do the kids do? Turns to daddy or mama. And here comes mommy and daddy. Oh, don't you mess with my children, right? You don't mess with God's children, because what happens now is that, what's mommy and daddy going to do? They're going to get your toys back, right? Because that's exactly what Satan did. The oppressor of this world came, took away our world, right? He finangled his way into our lives, and now Jesus says that, you know what? My kids can't handle this. This is too much for them. I got to go. And while he's preparing this place, he left us and he said, listen, you all know better. I want you now to go to this world and to tell this world, to tell all of my children that I will be back, to remind them as to who I am, who they are, to remind them of the royalty that runs through their blood, right? And to lift up their spirits, to prepare a people for his return. That is our job, people. Amen. Do we understand that? I mean, do we feel that? Do we feel that urge that tells us that, listen, this life is more than coming to church and sitting in the pews, getting your praise on, you know, singing hallelujah, and then coming back next week and doing the same thing. You see that cycle? It's the same cycle that the foreign oppressor, right? It's the same cycle that he does in your daily life. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you battle work during the day. And for kids, you all battle also. You go to school, you battle the school also, just to come back the next day and do the same old, same old, same old. When God says, go, preach the gospel, tell them that I'll be back. Tell them that I'm returning. Because right now we're in war, right? We are at war because it's either you're for Christ or you're against Christ. There is no middle way, right? We are at war. But you see, the only difference here is that we don't do the fighting. You see? My daddy does the fighting. Why? Because my daddy is bigger and my daddy is stronger than I am. All he asks us to do is go tell somebody. You see that same person that's sitting in a cubicle next to you that cusses you out every single day, right? God says, go tell them. But God, you know, you must not know who you're dealing with. I mean, she is evil. No, he says, that's my child. Go tell them. You see that person who, when you're pumping gas, you put the thingamajig inside the tank, and then you went and you swiped, and while you were swiping, somebody else came and was pumping gas, took some of your gas. It happens. That's God's child. That's someone who is solely and totally sold on the ways of the foreign oppressor. Lying, stealing, cheating, sexing, drinking, whatever it is, okay? That's the way of the foreign oppressor. And some don't even know it. That's not normal. And what God is calling us to do, he's calling and he says, listen, I've told you. I need you to go tell somebody else. Prepare the way. John the Baptist was not the only one preparing the way, right? My name is John the Baptist. Our names John the Baptist. We are the ones preparing the way for the return of Jesus Christ. And the only thing that Jesus asks us to do is go tell somebody. Amen?
Amen.
Our Lord God, our Father in heaven. God, we are so thankful to you, great God in heaven, for this opportunity to sit at your feet, to learn about your ways, great God in heaven. Help us, great God, to truly see the position that this world is in. Help us to truly see, Father, that we are people that are living under foreign occupation, that we've adopted the ways of the foreign person, Satan, his demons, that we have lived the life, Father, and that we are forced now in a position where we feel forced to be living the lie. This world is not my home. I have no friend but you. And God in heaven, we pray that you would help us so that we can recognize the realities of our situation, and that we can view this situation from your perspective. We are people under bondage. Some of us are starting to see the light only because you're starting to open our eyes to show us really, great God in heaven, that this world is not it. To show us, great God in heaven, that the only path out of this mess that we live in is through you. So God, help us so that we can be seeking first your kingdom, seeking first the kingdom of God, Father, and your righteousness, and that you're going to take care of the rest. So God, whatever it is that's in front of us, whatever it's that barrier that's preventing us from giving our lives totally and solely to you, great God, we pray, Father, that you would help us, that you would help us first to see what these issues are, and that those issues could be pushed to the side. That whatever prevents us from coming before you, Father, with that freedom to worship you, that you would remove those barriers, great God in heaven, and give us the courage so that we can stand firmly, knowing that if you are for us, great God in heaven, there is nothing that can stand against us. So we thank you, great God in heaven, and we enter the session where we will be taking communion, great God, because you gave this as a reminder to us, and you're telling us to remember. So now, great God in heaven, we thank you for this, and we commit this into your hands, recognizing that our job, and the only job that we have, is to prepare a people for your coming. In the name and by the authority and through the power of Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Okay, at this time, we're going to ask that those individuals who help with the communion, that you man your stations. And there's a thought that I want to, coming back to the book of Acts, there's a thought that I want us to keep in mind as we take this communion. It says in verse 9, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Picture Jesus Christ now. Oh, the picture is gone. Okay. Picture Jesus Christ standing before them, having these conversations, and then he just starts to rise into the sky, into the heavens. What was the last thing that he told them at this time? He said, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has has set by his own authority, but you will receive power." Can you imagine? This is the last thing he said to them before ascending. You would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The last thing he said to them just before his ascension. So how does the elements tie in with this? It's really simple. God says, remember me. As he is going up into the heavens, we need to be remembering. As he is preparing that place for us, we need to be remembering. And one of the things that he left us with to remember him by are the elements, the bread and the wine. And during that night when they were at the supper table, he said that the wine represents his body that's broken for us. The bread represents the body broken for us. The wine represents the wine of the covenant. We are in covenant with God. We are in covenant with Jesus Christ. And when he says, I will return, I can't even say bet your bottom dollar on that, because the dollar is fallible. You can burn that. But he would stand at his word. He will return. So you can pass the elements. As we partake of these elements, I'm going to ask that we remember this. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember our purpose on this earth. Remember that the fact that he is with us, that he would return with us, and that our purpose here is quite simple. Tell someone. Do you know of someone who wants to enter into covenant with Jesus? Do you know of someone who needs to be in covenant with Jesus? As we take these, I want us to remember those things. Lord God, our Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, continually, Father, we are thankful to you. We recognize you, Father. We recognize your great and awesome power. And you are someone to be feared, but you told us, fear not. We recognize, great God in heaven, that yes, we need to fear you, but we need not fear you, because your power works on our behalf. And we have that confidence, great God, that you will do what you said you will do on our behalf. So, as God, we thank you for this opportunity, and we thank you, great God in heaven, for the bread that appears before us, Father, the body that was broken on our behalf. And we take this, Father, recognizing that you are God and that this is what you've done for us. You suffered and you died. And your blood was spilled on our behalf. Thank you, great God in heaven. Thank you for this demonstration of your love towards us, that you loved us so much that you chose to have your Son die. That, Jesus, you chose to come to this earth, suffer humiliation on our behalf. And you're just asking us to go tell somebody. Thank you. And Jesus, we know that there are a lot of people who are anxious. There are a lot of people, great God, who know and who have a desire to do the right thing. Who have a desire, great God in heaven, to share this message of love with the world. But the cares of this world, great God in heaven, has drowned out those seeds, just like the parable says. Some seeds fell on stone. Some seeds fell on sandy soil. Some seeds fell on concrete. But there are some seeds, great God in heaven, that are so strong that they even find their ways between the concrete to find a piece of dirt where they can grow some root. And we do have people here, great God, who are living on concrete. We have people here whose lives, great God, are so difficult and intertwined with the world of the oppressor. So what we ask, great God in heaven, is that you would give them some soil somewhere in their lives where they could be planted. And we know, great God in heaven, and you know that once that little bit of soil is present, the root for some reason just finds its way down into the cracks and crevices of the concrete, and pretty soon that concrete just destroyed. So what we pray, great God in heaven, we pray for a crack. We pray, great God in heaven, for Holy Spirit to show us that way, how we can be loosed, and that we can, Father, truly come to that point where we recognize that this world is not our home. So we ask now at this time, great God, that if there are any individuals who feel that your life is unmanageable, that you have reached a spot in your life where things are so difficult that you can't see a way out, we have some people who would pray for you. And I want to ask at this time that, Tracy, would you mind coming up here? We're going to have some people up here. Carol, would you mind? Lisa, Michael, that's Michael McNeil. Come on down here. We have these individuals up here who would be willing to pray with you. We have some time on the clock. Don't worry, we got until 12:30, okay? So I'm going to ask that if it is that you're going through some stuff in your life, the car not working, you lose your wallet, you have a death in the family, you've got that oppressor, this thing pressing down on top of you, grades that are due, we enter finals week, right? Kids, you got grades that are due, and every single professor thinks, or sorry, teacher thinks that their class is more important than the other one. I want you to come down here and we'll pray with you. If it is that you believe that you haven't yet truly accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to come down here and we'll pray with you. Don't look at who's looking at you. This is between you and God right now. I want you to come down and we'll pray with you. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what pain we bear, all because we do not take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen.